What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, November 15th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the man who saved the PlayStation Vita, Gio Corsi.
Woo! How you doing, man?
I'm great, Gio. How are you?
I'm doing well, but I didn't realize you actually do yell. Like, when I listen to the podcast, you're screaming, but actually sitting beside you.
It's an energy thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? If I don't start that way, then I'm going to be down here the whole time, and, like, nobody's going to be interested. It's
right.
It's going to sound like...
So you want to start with a pop.
Exactly.
But you're actually yelling, which
I'm excited to be here.
I'm super excited to be here, too.
That's the thing. So, of course, you're unemployed.
I am.
You have no income.
None.
You are just sitting there.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
Gio, how long were you at PlayStation?
I was at PlayStation for 6.5 years.
You left as the senior director, head of global second party games at PlayStation.
Correct.
Why'd you leave? This is, you know, I don't know if you noticed this. You left. There was a lot of theories, a lot of things floating around.
A lot of theories.
Is PlayStation in free fall? What's happening?
No. It was a personal decision of mine. I've always been nomadic. I've been, I'm usually around 4 or 5 years at a place. And with PlayStation, I'd been there for 6.5 years. So for me, it was the longest I'd ever been somewhere.
Wow.
You know, it's the second party thing was going really well. I was working with Scott Rohde and Shu and Sean.
Terrible
and it was
people.
Just awesome. And, you know, we'd accomplished so much with third party, with Adam Boyes and Phil Rosenberg and all those guys. So, you know, over the last year, I started having that itch. Like, it's time to try something new. It's time to try something different. And, you know, I would love to say that everything is awesome. And, you know, there are some personal things that I wanted to change about my employment and whatnot. But then I had two real big personal things happen to me with the death of my father-in-law and the death of my dog, Laverne.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, you know what? Let's take a break here. Let's make a cut and let's just take 2 months off to kind of recalibrate and re-energize and whatnot. And you know, I had a good long conversation with Scott. He totally got it. I talked to my team there, John and the rest, and we're just like, "Yep, we get it." And I just needed to do it for myself. Sometimes you need to take those breaks, those sabbaticals,
man. 100%,
you know, and just kind of recalibrate. And that's exactly what I did. And I feel already 2 weeks in, and I feel better for it, for doing it.
Well, awesome.
Yeah, but it was, I mean, honestly, there was nothing bad going on at PlayStation. It just was, for me, it was time for a change.
6 years, when you look back, what are you proudest of?
Ooh. Well, I got to say, you know, 25 years in the industry and never having launched a console before and being part of that PS4 launch team was pretty exciting. Granted, I was only there for the 7 months leading up to the actual launch, and a lot of stuff had already been done. But to be there while it was all coming together and to be there to see it actually launch and then see the reception of the platform. And, you know, I was a developer for a long time beforehand, and trying to work with PlayStation during the PS3 days was not exactly easy.
Yeah.
And when Adam came on board, obviously Adam and I have known each other for years, going back to Canada here, there.
Well, everybody in Canada knows each other, right?
Well, that's true. There's only like six of us there.
Sure.
So, yeah, you get it. You know, the first conversation we had, how difficult it is for developers to get their games onto the platform. And he was like, that's what we're trying to change. So I remember that sticking with me. And then when I joined PlayStation, he was true to his word, and that was what the entire third-party publisher and developer team was trying to do, was change the way that PlayStation had relationships with its partners.
Yeah.
And obviously was successful. So,
yeah, 100%.
You know, I totally, totally proud to be part of that. And, of course, you know, I brought my trusty Vita here. This is mine.
This is
my boy Blue here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, always was my favorite platform, even before I joined Sony, and just being able to bring some games onto it. Granted,
Well, you did better than some, buddy.
Sure. But, you know, and granted, we weren't able to bring all the games that we wanted or some of the much larger titles, but we still brought dozens of titles to this little platform. And for me, I'll always be really, really proud of that.
Hashtag building the list.
Hashtag building the list.
Yeah,
absolutely. And a lot of things. I mean, not only Vita games came from building the list, but, you know, like Yakuza 5 and Shenmue 3 and things like that, you know, that I will eternally be proud of.
Sure.
Yeah.
So then two questions for you, I think.
Two.
Because this is fun. Now you're actually out. You're on the sidelines,
yes,
right? You can actually talk about it.
Yes.
You see what's happening.
Yes.
What was your reaction? Because after you left, right, of Herman getting promoted, Shu moving over to this indie role.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know any of that before I left, so
It
was a real surprise for me.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, Herman's an awesome dude, and
yeah,
I'm really excited to see what he does, because I mean, he's a developer. He built a company. He's worked on some of the biggest titles of this generation with Horizon, and I'm just really excited to see what he does now that he's working with worldwide, running worldwide studios. And I mean, Shu's a legend. you know, I had the pleasure of taking Shu to his first PAX West last year, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And just watching him walk around and talk to the developers and the publishers and the fans, like,
yeah, oh yeah.
He is a rock star.
Yeah.
He is an absolute rock star. So seeing him in this indie-centric role, I'm really, really excited to see what he does with it. You know, part of me has that little pang of like, oh, I just left when this happened.
Yeah.
I didn't know about it, but, you know, I hope to eventually get back into development. I mean, that's really where I hope to get going to. But
yeah, I guess three questions. What then there is like, what is the plan for you? You're taking this time off, but you're coming back to games, right?
I'm coming back to games. Okay, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I've talked already to a bunch of people, and I just told everyone like, hey, I really want to just chill out and relax until the end of the year.
Sure.
And let's talk in January. And to everyone's credit, they've all been like, absolutely no problem. Except for you. You're like, get off your ass and come over here and help.
Exactly. Yeah. I know how much you hate talking about video games. It's a lot of work for you to come. I did enjoy you walking in today. It's been a long time since I was up at 9 a.m.
It's been a whole 2 weeks. Come on.
It's hard to get in that cycle.
Yeah, for sure.
The final question, because you're going to have so much insight in this entire episode. I'm very excited about that. And it'll be interesting to see you talk about Xbox for a change.
Yeah.
My final question is, you've been on the inside. What is going on with Patapon 2? We saw it at PSX. I know it exists. I know it's in there. Who do I have to call?
You got to call Shu.
God damn it.
Yeah. I wish I could say it was me, but it wasn't. No, I don't like Patapon, so it's it's all yours.
You know, it's been an excellent episode. Barrett!
Let's call it like it
Barrett,
is.
Barrett, no! You A2 Brute, after everything we've been through, B-Force, that's how you're going to play me.
That's how B-Force rolls, baby.
Lord almighty. Let's talk about everything Xbox. Maybe there's an Anthem reboot and Star Wars, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames. You can give us your questions, your comments, everything under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record the show live, twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe.
You ever wake up in the middle of the night going, like, just saying those lines, you know, like, podcast services around the world.
I often joke about it, right, because whenever I talk to somebody, I get interviewed by, you know, I want to do what you do, and Howard, and talk to anyone, I'm like, you just got to do it, and you got to do it over and over and over again. And it's that thing of, it sounds so stupid, but it is a muscle, podcasting.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I remember, you go back and listen to my first Game Scoops, it's like that thing of, like, you can see I'm in my, or hear, and then I'm in my head of, like, am I breathing too loudly on the mic? When do I talk? How do I breathe? You know what I mean? And, like, I'm like, nowadays, literally, I could be asleep, someone could kick in the door with a camera and throw a microphone at me, and I'd be like, what's up, everybody? It's time to do whatever we're doing. Yeah, you know.
The transition from you asking me questions going into this and doing your thing, it's cool.
That's why I'm mediocre in the business.
There you go.
Housekeeping for you. Love, Sex, and Stuff is tonight. I think it's a 2-hour live stream where you can call in live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames and ask your love, sex, and stuff questions to, I believe, Nick and Tim. Will there be special guests? Probably. Will some of them be drunk? Most likely. twitch.tv/kindafunnygames live, 8 p.m. Pacific time. If you want to catch it later, it will be on youtube.com/kindafunny later. Housekeeping is an interesting one. I didn't know this. Major Nelson tweeted today, 18. The original Xbox turns 18 years old today. Wow. Happy birthday to you, you big, black, beautiful box.
Is that what he
That's what Larry said. I'll say it. I don't care.
Awesome.
That's all. Man, do you... original Xbox, were you on board right away? Did you get one? No? Yeah,
no.
Me neither. Yeah.
I was a 360 guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I played Knights of the Old Republic where I was like, on somebody else's, like, I got to go this, and I went and bought it, and there I was off to the races.
And then I got the Minecraft Xbox One.
Oh, very nice. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack, Zach Parsley, and Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Brooklinen, Manscaped, and Escape the Invasion, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! 5 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen!
You were over at PlayStation. Chris Roper ever talk about the fact that we still say his name every day?
Not to me, no.
No? Okay, that's weird. Number one, let's talk about all the Xbox highlights. Of course, XO19 happened yesterday. We did a live react, so we won't cover everything. You can go to youtube.com/kindafunnygames, see us live react, recap at the end of it. But I want to talk about the bigger stuff out of it, Gio.
Sure.
Number one, what was your take on it? What was your read? You're again in an interesting position. You've been part of the giant showcases and conferences.
The thing I love the most is that it was a fan-centric event. It's over a course of a couple of days. It's happening in London. So not only was it this big conference that announces all this new stuff, but it's a place for all the fans to come and play the games and, you know, We had PSX for a couple of years. I don't know if there's ever going to be another one.
I was
so don't
ask
you.
That
me
was it. I want to know.
I'm not involved. I hope so. I hope so.
That was my question. Okay.
I've always been a really big fan of those fan-centric events and, you know, like having all the developers and publishers come out with their product and just having that kind of, having that console-centric, you know, time for people to come together and enjoy not only the games but the platform. I think that's super awesome. So kudos to Xbox for doing that, and it looked like it went off exceptionally well. So
Yeah.
I, for one, am a big fan of those things.
I broke it up into a few different categories. I think the first one I want to start with is xCloud. They came out there and, of course, announced that as of now, right now, that xCloud beta people are in, 50 games have been in. More than 50 games are now in there. So you can get in play way more than you could before. In 2020, xCloud is going to come to Windows 10 with and PC. You can use the Razer and DualShock controllers. That was awesome to see them mention that on there. Canada, Japan, India, and Western Europe will be getting xCloud access next year. And then Madden 20 is in the cloud right now. They made a big point about that. And then in 2020, this is another huge one, I thought, game streaming of what you already own will come to xCloud. Because right now you're using their library of stuff.
Then you can use your own library.
Exactly. Whatever you actually own and whatever, it won't matter what's on there. Then also Game Pass will be coming to xCloud in 2020 as well. So that's awesome.
It's a whole new world. Don't you dare close your eyes.
Nice.
Thanks.
Now what's your read on streaming? Of course, right here on the desk, we haven't mentioned it. Next to Vita, of course. Just the golden boy, the golden child, the amazing thing. We have Stadia. Stadia has been unboxed. We can't review it or do anything with it on camera for you. Obviously, I'm playing it. It's here, though. We can use it and do stuff with it.
Yeah.
If you're an audio listener, there's a Pixel strapped to the top of it with the stand that came with it and everything else. Yeah. It's a good controller build.
Yeah.
What's your read on streaming? Are you excited about it?
I'm interested in it. Yeah. I'm a bit of an old school gray hair, you know, like I have embraced the digital future in the sense that I very rarely buy physical content anymore. It's all digital because I live in a small San Francisco apartment and I don't have a lot of room. So that's one of the main reasons. Otherwise, I am a collector. So I do like a lot of physical stuff. Like I collect tiki mugs and all that. I collect sneakers and all that kind of jazz. But
Something had to give, and it was the game cases.
So I do embrace the digital games. But for streaming and the cloud and all that sort of stuff, I'm very, very interested to see where it goes. The idea, I mean, like, you know, used to travel with this thing all the time. I travel with the Switch all the time. So, like, having the mobility of playing, but the fact that now I might be able to, you know, continue on my Destiny campaign.
That's the biggest thing, right?
It's really cool. I remember when Remote Play first came out with PS4, and like we were at Gamescom, and you know, going into our Destiny game, and like, you know, seeing what Xur was doing for the week while we were at, and it was clunky and it was rough because, you know, you're on hotel Wi-Fi and all that jazz, so it didn't quite work, but the promise was there.
100%.
You know, so I'm really excited to see if that promise becomes a reality.
That's my thing, too. Yeah. Like, and that's why I'm supporting it and why I'm so bullish on both Stadia and xCloud is because that's the future I want.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're you know, I go to London next week for the Kinda Funny World Tour meet and greet and then going to Paris afterwards. And it's like, awesome. And it's like, man, it would be rad if I was sure that Remote Play or Stadia or whatever, I could still be playing Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah.
I could still be working on my Platinum and doing that kind of
thing. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't matter what system you're on or what is it, your phone, it's your iPad, whatever it is. If you can, and it's a really good connection and it's got a good frame rate and everything's, you're not losing anything by playing it this way.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So I thought those were huge moves for xCloud. Yeah. I'm excited
to
see that.
Plus 50 games off the bat.
Yeah. Oof. And that's the thing, of course, what we're talking about again. And like they made a subtle dig at Stadia, right? Of like, we're not saying this is going to kill all games. Where it was Phil off on stage. We're not saying this is, you know, going to get rid of all the platforms. We're not saying this is basically ready for prime time.
Right.
Meanwhile, as Stadia continues to step on every rake in their front yard. The only way it could get worse now is if they were like, by the way, it's not streaming technically when you get it this time. You're going to have to buy this box.
What was that Sideshow Bob episode of The Simpsons?
Yeah, oh God, that's what it is.
Still
every
one of the classics.
Day.
Yeah. Just that one scene of all the rakes.
Yeah. So it's interesting to see. Yeah, I thought Xbox really nailed it yesterday and continue to say this is a tech we're working on, right? Similar to PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
This is something we're working on and you're working on it with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep that beta tag on there. Then I put on here new games. There was a bunch of new games announced.
Yes, there were.
I called out two here that I thought were Greg Miller jams that I wanted to bring up. Number one, Tell Me Why. This is the next game from Don't Nod.
Mm-hmm.
Set in small town Alaska, Tell Me Why places you at the heart of a mystery in an intimate, true-to-life story where twins Tyler and Allison Ronan use their extraordinary bond to unravel memories of a loving but troubled childhood. Don't Nod has worked closely alongside Microsoft and LGBTQ media advocacy organization GLAAD in shaping Tyler as an authentic representation of the trans experience, as well as a genuine multidimensional character. Tyler is also the first playable video game hero from a major studio and publisher who is also transgender. Quote, Microsoft and Don't Nod have approached Tyler with a real commitment to authenticity, explains Nick Adams, director of transgender representation at GLAAD. Tyler is a fully realized, endearing character whose story is not reduced to simplistic trans tropes. Creating a playable lead trans character and taking such care to get it right raises the bar for future LGBTQ inclusion in gaming, end quote. The story of Tell Me Why is comprised of three chapters that will release on a clear and predictable schedule. Don't Nod are passionate about the opportunities for community building and audience engagement that come with episodic storytelling, but they are also dedicated to innovation and improvement. Tell Me Why will release on or with Xbox Game Pass and will also be available for purchase on Xbox One, PC, and Steam. Right there. I mean, first off, Don't Nod. They're doing something. I'm in.
Yeah.
I want to play it. I want to see it.
Yep.
I'm excited that Life is Strange is about to wrap up season two.
Yep.
Like, I let
Have
it pause.
It?
I did episodes one and two, mm-hmm. but the problem was there, which is why I think they call out this clear and predictable schedule, is that there's just so much gaps
so much
there
time.
Where I was like,
I know it's tough.
When they announced three, I was like, wait, did I ever play two? And I had a Wikipedia, and I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I did. I kind of forgot all that stuff.
You know,
I hate that.
Here's a big industry secret for you.
Secret.
Game development is not easy.
You say that, but then I see all these things. We can flip
it's
a switch,
easy.
And we can do crossplay. We can press a button and port it. You know what I mean?
That's the game's already done at that point.
Oh, okay.
The game's
okay,
already
okay.
done at that point. Also, Fortnite, take the beta tag off. It's been years. Come on.
It's early access. All right.
I want those trophies.
I know, right? God, can
I
you
want
imagine?
Those trophies. Yeah,
me too, me too.
Rest in peace, Paragon.
Wow, look at you. Yeah. You got the deep cuts there.
Love that game.
You and Andrea Renee out there carrying the torch.
That's fine. Yeah, totally fine. Totally fine. My boy Steel. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know that game development's hard, and that's why I understand episodic, even when Telltale was making it, right? That was always the thing, is like dates shifted and slipped so much. And I think that there was a, oh, God, again kind of feeling. But I get that. You don't know what happens, where it's going to change,
I
what's going to go
it's,
on.
It's tough being the consumer at the end waiting for the final product because you're like, I played that. I finished it weeks ago. When's the other one? I haven't even heard when the other one's coming. What's going on? Oh, here's something awesome that I want to play.
Yep.
Well, I'll just play this while I'm waiting for that next chapter. You get totally invested in that game. Then another awesome game comes out. And that last chapter's memory gets further and further away. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, they finally announced that one, but it's not coming for another 2 months. Oh, God, I try to go back and play. I don't quite remember, but now I'm really enjoying this game. I get it. It's that juggling that's really, really tough, not only as a developer, but as a publisher, as a platform. It's rough going.
Can I ask you a question through the looking glass the other way? Because
you
talk about obviously being a PlayStation, but you mentioned 25 years in the industry.
Yeah.
You've made games.
Yes.
You know, you've been out there and doing stuff.
Yeah.
Is there some kind of launch depression that comes from the fact that you have worked on a game for X amount of years? Let's just say three, right?
Yeah.
But you get the game to the audience, and we devour it in 20 hours. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was thinking about it with Last Jedi, or Fallen Order, where I, you know, beat the story in 20 hours, and now I'm working on the Platinum, and I'm having such a great time. Reviews up, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. We'll talk about it in a second. I'm, like, more than 15 hours in of just getting collectibles.
Yep.
And it's like, that's awesome, and I'm going to finish it soon in Platinum, and it'll be great. And I'm like, I'm going to beat that in a week and a half, 2 weeks grand total, and it was somebody's life for 3 years.
Yep.
And I haven't taken in every texture, every little thing that makes that game. Like, is there a thing that's like, oh, God?
There is a thing. I mean, it doesn't hit everybody, and everybody's different, obviously. But for me, I'm always marveling at the fact that, you know, here's a team that's worked on a game for 2 to 5 years.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, anywhere from 40 to 400 people working on this game. They're putting their blood, sweat, and tears over time, haven't seen their kids, haven't seen their wives, they haven't seen their husbands, you know, whatever. They just put it out finally. They take a breather. They come back to work Monday, and already the hardcores have finished.
The worlds have moved on. Yeah, the world's moved
on. What's next? And that's a tough pill to swallow because they're like, what are you guys doing next? And like, we just finished the last thing.
In the review, I was like, I'd love New Game Plus. I'd love DLC. And I'm like, I'm part
it's
of the problem.
And I mean, that's what I think. Game development is hard. It's not only hard physically, it's hard emotionally.
Sure.
You know, because of that exact thing. That was awesome. You guys did it. You knocked it out of the park. What's next?
Exact thing.
Like, we're still enjoying the ball flying out of the park. Like, give us a few minutes to enjoy this. This is because this was a lot of work. And that's the thing when I say game development hard, of course it's hard. But, you know, you might only have two programmers. All of a sudden, one of them decides to take a different job and moves on. So now you only have one programmer doing all the work for two programmers, and you're trying to fulfill that that open head count, but you can't find the right guy or girl to work on the team. I keep saying guy, apologies, but you can't find the right person to work on the team, and that starts putting your schedule behind, you know?
Right.
And it's like, to the audience, they don't see that. But they, you know, that's why when you make a game schedule, the first thing you do is you know that it's out of date. Because things change constantly.
In the time it took to make this, we've already fallen behind on 3 miles.
And you don't hear about those little things about where you just see, oh, they have an open headcount. They're still working on the game. But it puts things behind constantly. And then, they, you know, once you start getting feedback in, all of a sudden you realize that this one feature that you were so very, very proud of and this is going to change the world, nobody likes it.
Yeah.
Oh, we were banking a lot on this one feature, so we've got to, you know, bring up those other features and maybe downplay this one if you don't want to remove it all together. It might be too late to remove it all together. But it's those constant, it is juggling. You're constantly juggling, and everyone's trying to juggle all those balls together.
Yeah.
So if you can imagine all of Kind of Funny trying to juggle these 10 balls at the same time together, balls are going to drop, things are going to happen, someone's going to slip and fall, probably Kevin.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it goes.
I see that every day here. Yeah. Don't worry about it. When I looked at it, I'm like, the Jedi Fallen Order reviews live. Yeah. Everything's great. Name bar wrong. I'm like, damn it. Little things. The other game I saw that I was super stoked about was Last Stop. This is Annapurna published. It's from the developers of Virginia, Variable State. It's this body snatcher thing, right? It reads this way. From the award-winning creators of Virginia, Last Stop is a single-player, third-person narrative game set in present-day London, where players take on the role of three separate characters whose worlds collide in the midst of a supernatural crisis. Players will have the chance to experience an anthology drama with three stories featuring three unique protagonists. Make choices to shape their conversations, walk in their shoes, and discover where their individual stories lead. It's a Greg Miller game right there. That's a Greg Miller game right there if I've ever heard of one. Come on now. Did you see anything that stood out to you?
Yeah, for me, the Ron Perlman voiced Where the Dead? What, who the Dead?
Yeah,
who,
what, the where, dead when, why the dead? Yeah, hold on. I have my notes. Yeah. I meant to have left.
But for me, growing up, I was always... fancied myself as a shitty cartoonist. So I really love, cool, unique art styles. And there's nothing cool and unique West of Dead. There you go. I knew it was a W. West of Dead. I know toon shading is not anything new, but we haven't seen it in a little bit. So it was cool to see that again. And anybody with a flaming skull for a head always catches my attention. And I love that gravelly voice of Ron Perlman.
Our description on this one reads, Ron Perlman, Hellboy, Sons of Anarchy, stars as the voice of the main protagonist, William Mason, a dead man awakened with only the memory of a figure in black. His existence sets into motion a chain of events that have truly mythical consequences. No one said dying would be easy. Thrown into the unknown, procedurally generated hunting grounds of purgatory, your skills will be put to the test as you shoot and dodge your way through the grime and grit of the underworld. West of Dead evolves the twin-stick shooter with tactical cover usage. Find out if you have what it takes to get through purgatory with your soul intact. That was another one high on our list over here.
Yeah,
that's a
Geo Corsi jam for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other big thing I have, my other big bullet point out of this one was Game Pass, of course. Game Pass continuing to be one of the best values in gaming.
So impressive.
If not that. Yeah. Yesterday it added Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition, Age of Wonders Planetfall, Hearts of Iron 4 Cadet Edition, Lego, the Ninjago movie video game, Rage 2 Remnant from the Ashes, the Talos Principle, Trax, the train set game. However, then, and this is where they go, here's what's coming beginning this holiday and throughout 2020. Carry On from ID at Xbox, which looks awesome. Mm-hmm. Chris Tales from ID at Xbox. Cyber Shadow, which looks awesome. Darksiders 3, Double Kick Heroes, Drake Hollow, Edge of Eternity, then the Final Fantasy franchise, which includes Final Fantasy 7, Final Fantasy 8 Remastered, Final Fantasy 9, Final Fantasy 10 HD Remastered, Final Fantasy 10-2 HD Remastered, Final Fantasy 12, The Zodiac Age, Final Fantasy 13, Final Fantasy 13-2, Lightning Returns, Final Fantasy 13, Final Fantasy 15. It's a lot of Final Fantasy.
It's a lot of Final Fantasy, yeah.
And Phil had a statement that we read yesterday on the show from one, I forget which outlet, but basically being like, listen, the MMO 2, 14, we're working on it. We're having conversations on how to get there. It's like, geez, man, swing for the fences.
Yeah.
Then this is continuing again. This is holiday through 2020. Forager, Haven, It Lurks Below, David Brevik's game. Levelhead, Life is Strange 2, episodes 4 and 5. My Friend Pedro, Pandemic, Fogs, She Dreams Elsewhere, a cool indie game you saw in the showcase. Mm-hmm. Skatebird, a cool indie game you saw in the Kind of Funny Game showcase. Streets of Rage 4, Scourge Bringer. Streets of Rage. The art style is awesome on there, right? Superland, Tekken 7, Toohoo Luna Knights, The Escapist 2, The Red Lantern, The Dog Sledding Game featuring Ashley Birch, The Red Strings Club, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, mm-hmm. Vambrance, Cold Soul, West of Dead, the game we were just talking about, and then Geo Corsi, Yakuza 0, Yakuza Kiwami, and Yakuza Kiwami 2.
I'm so excited that there are people out there who have never played a game in this franchise, and they're finally going to be able to play it.
For a dollar a month or whatever, whatever the promotion is when you get into it.
Yeah, so awesome.
It's crazy.
That's a hell of a lineup.
That's a crazy lineup.
Yeah, hell of a lineup.
I mean, again, as this thing just continues to rock and roll.
Yeah, I mean, you got to hand it to Xbox. They've been making some amazing, like, fan-friendly, consumer-friendly moves in the last year or two, and this is just more proof in the pudding.
Yeah.
You know, like, those are some... I bought a lot of those games. 100%. Paid full price for those games,
yeah,
you know?
And a lot of, and so many of these are unreleased, and we were like, oh, that looks cool, that looks cool, that's cool, and then it's all
and now you can play them on Game Pass.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's super cool.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating, because I think we came in yesterday to watching XO19 with the right expectations.
Right.
Where, and I think Xbox messaged them correctly, too, of, we're not talking about Scarlet.
Yep.
We're going to go big on what's happening on Game
Pass.
And
they came right out of the gate saying that, didn't they? Yeah.
We're going to go big on xCloud and that. And so it goes back to what I loved about PSX, which was like, hey, here's a show for the PlayStation audience. Hey, here's a show for the Xbox people.
Yeah.
If you're invested in this ecosystem, this is why you should be excited and continue to do it. But I saw the same thing of people being like, oh, I wanted this big thing. And where was Halo? And it's like, that wasn't what this was. This that is an E3 announcement. Yeah. That Halo, maybe, knock on wood, is a Game Awards trailer.
Yeah.
You put something out there, right? Yeah. This is, again, as I've said for so long, them continuing to shore up the base.
Yeah.
So that when they do whatever they're going to do with Scarlet, you hope, hey, here's our first parties and here's all the amazing games they're working on, they capitalize and dominate on.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what Xbox does with those big AAA, quadruple A first party titles.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, there have been a few, absolutely, but
few and far between.
They haven't gotten the same kind of online presence as the PlayStation ones.
Sure.
I feel. And maybe unfairly, maybe not, I don't know, but I know they're obviously they've purchased a lot of studios. Those studios are working on tons of things. So as a gamer, I'm really, really excited to see what's coming down the pipe. And hopefully we learn more soon?
Yeah.
Question mark?
You figure we got to get through the holidays, right? And then PlayStation 5 and Scarlet take the gloves off.
I mean,
again,
like, I think this was as close to a perfect event as you could ask for being an Xbox fan, but it would have been nice to have just one
megaton. Yeah, like, we were doing it. And again, it's just not our game, I get. But I thought ending on Wasteland 3 was an interesting choice.
Right.
There's even the games we've read and talked about, feel like more of them would have been a better, like, oh, cool, this is a cinematic way to end it. Whereas, like, Wasteland's a...
I would have ended on Yakuza.
Yeah, exactly. Of course you would have. Yeah, you would have come out and, like, the tattoo on your back, at the back of your chest, you're all set to go. Yeah. Speaking of Yakuza, Ark Wing writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can. It says, with the Yakuza series announced to be coming to Xbox for the first time and the rest of the Kingdom Hearts games coming to the platform. I forgot that. That wasn't on their list over here.
Yeah.
Do you think other Japanese series will be willing to make the jump onto Xbox? Also, with Sega willing to port Yakuza to Xbox, do you see it as a sign of them trying to make their biggest IPs multi-platform and them eventually making other IPs multi-platform, i.e. Persona?
I think anything's possible.
Yeah, absolutely. In the crazy world we currently live in video games, yes.
You know, honestly, back in the day, I would have never thought that Yakuza would have come over to Xbox, let alone Final Fantasy or Kingdom Hearts, like all those old school ones. I never would have thought it. But we are living in a whole new world. And to me, if those classic franchises are treated with respect and the fans embrace them and whatnot, I definitely believe that Japanese publishers and developers will want to bring more content to the Xbox ecosystem. Absolutely.
Sure.
Why wouldn't
they?
Especially if fans are embracing it and loving it and clamoring for more. I mean, that's why they've been so successful on PlayStation, because the fans just keep embracing them and say, yes, thank you for bringing these to the West. Thank you for bringing all these great storied franchises that we either have to get the Japanese version of when we go to visit Japan or get it bootlegged or whatever, but now we can finally get them to the West and they're treated with the care and respect that these franchises deserve. So it's great for me that Final Fantasy Kingdom Hearts, but for me that Yakuza is coming out more and more people are going to be able to play it, because, I mean, you're a Yakuza fan, right?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It is once you get in there and all the things you can do in the town, let alone the main story, all the little side things.
Every time you go to the Sega arcade.
Yeah, it's
I'm going to try to get everything out of the claw machine.
I'm going to go disco dance. I'm going to go do the things.
Karaoke.
Like, it's so ridiculously over the top fun that I'm really excited to see more people get their hands on it. And hopefully it finds a whole new audience that not only means more these types of games coming over to the Xbox, but it means more Japanese games in general coming over to the West.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And that was something, you know, I don't have it in here. We're going to talk about acquisitions for a second. Phil Spencer last night, or during XO19 interview segments around the globe, was talking a little bit about, like, yeah, no, they are still looking for acquisitions. They are, they'd love to get a studio from Asia in, like, sure. Start moving that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is, you know, building that bridge, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of Phil Spencer, Greg Way, number two on the Roper Report, I have two tidbits from him. We're starting with him talking about Scarlet. This is Tom Warren at The Verge. Microsoft isn't going to repeat its mistakes from the Xbox One with its next generation Xbox console. Quote, I would say a learning from this the Xbox One generation is we will not be out of position on power or price, says Phil Spencer, Microsoft's Xbox and gaming chief, in an interview with The Verge. Quote, if you remember the beginning of this generation, we were $100 more expensive, and yes, we were less powerful. And we started Project Scarlet with this leadership team in a place with a goal of having market success, end quote. That market success will be key for Xbox after years of falling behind PlayStation sales and questions over its games lineup. Either way, Spencer thinks there are plenty of generations of Xbox ahead. Quote, we had this discussion years ago. Do we want to go another generation? Yes, and do we think there will be multiple generations ahead of us? I actually think there probably is, says Spencer. So we're going all in. We are all in on Project Scarlet, and I want to compete. And I want to compete in the right ways, which is why we're focused on cross-play and backwards compatibility. How's that sound to you?
Sounds great. You know, props to Phil for mentioning that stuff up front about being more expensive and less powerful and whatnot, like owning it. Owning it, just taking it on the chin like a champ and then just saying, but and this is how we're going to, you know, move forward and do things better and be better. And as a gamer, again, as a gamer with no affiliation, I'm a free agent. Yeah. It's awesome to see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what, I mean, I think, again, so many people, and Phil, this is not new for Phil Spencer.
No.
So many people in the games industry, though, waking up to how authenticity and being honest actually goes so far.
Yep.
Putting out the blog post of, hey, our game's delayed because of X, Y, and Z. Yep. Great. When it's just like a weird tweet, no context, it's just out there, that's a completely different story.
Agreed.
So, yeah, you become bulletproof. If you come out, you're like, yes, yeah, we screwed that up, and here's how we're not screwing it up going forward.
And he said that on stage with the fans, right?
No, this was an interview.
Oh, it was an interview. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they weren't going to talk about Scarlet up there. Don't you worry
about
that.
Yeah, fair enough.
But then you got Tom Warren over there with The Verge asking all the questions. You know? this is on acquisitions. This is Wesley Yinpool interviewing Phil Spencer over at Eurogamer. You have 15 studios. This is obviously Wesley. You have 15 studios now. You've been on an impressive acquisition spree. Are you done now? And this is interesting because remember yesterday during the conference, they did say, you know, we've been focused on acquisitions. Now we're on actually getting them to go places. We're actually, you know, fostering them. I did a terrible job. They'd had a much better way they said that.
Sure, sure.
But, yeah. Phil Spencer, though, said, no, I do think we can sometimes get a little infatuated with putting a bunch of studio logos on a slide. And that becomes the news. They're not trading cards. They're studios. And we want them to build great games. I love the fact that we're here announcing three new IP. Two from our internal studios. As I look forward, there's not a show I can look at where we're not going to be announcing new games just because of the breadth of studios we have. It's not really some kind of PR battle about how many new acquisitions we can put on a stage. Because if we're not building great games, the acquisitions don't matter. But are we done? I don't think so. And that's where I think they got into, we want a studio in Asia,
sure.
We're going to do these things. But yeah, one of the things you mentioned, their new IPs, of course, Rare revealed Grounded last night, which looks cool. It's like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, survival multiplayer.
Wasn't that the Obsidian one?
Yeah, Obsidian. Fuck, I fucked it up. Yeah. Which one was the Rare one? Oh, Rare's was...
Everwild,
that's right, the really pretty
embarrassing.
One. Good job.
Embarrassing.
Hey, you know what? It's a live you're wrong, and I don't mind that one. I don't mind. It didn't get to the page over here. I mean, you want to be
enough.
Embarrassing. Lord of Pones trying to take you down, right? Remote play first appeared on PS3, not PS4.
Cool.
The water off a duck's back for Geo. Let's see what the nanobiologist question is here. He wrote in patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey, Greg and Geo. Xbox.
Hello.
Sorry, I didn't mean to step on
your
Xbox Scarlet is right around the corner, and yesterday we saw next to no games that would appear at launch. While I'm very happy with the announcements, I still feel like the gaming community needs to be very wary about the next launch. Do you see Xbox, Phil Spencer, and the whole Microsoft Game Studio lineup, including the Initiative, coming out guns blazing at whatever event they'll hold in February revealing the console or E3? Do you think Xbox, with its little time development-wise from acquisitions to now, will have games ready for launch that drive those, quote, I must buy this now hooks into people? How likely do you see that Xbox and PlayStation will again have a weak launch lineup and let the launch window try to grab people? What's your take? Because this is the whole thing of like getting the Initiative going, getting all these studios.
Yeah.
Great, but yeah, when do you see the fruits of those labors?
Yeah, I mean, and you don't want to announce too early because again, there's so much stuff coming out between announcement and launch. You don't want people to forget about it. You really want to make that really big, super huge announcement that people talk about for months and months to come.
Yeah.
And it just leads into the excitement of the actual launch and playing those games. I call it the Snakes on a Plane problem. You remember Snakes on a Plane?
I remember Samuel L. Jackson.
They talked about that movie for about a year and a half before it came out, and people were pumped, super excited. Then the movie came out and it fell flat because people had gotten so excited they'd gone over the hump and started forgetting about it and just kind of getting disinterested in it and then realizing, why are we excited about Snakes on a Plane? Like, you know, and the movie bombed at the box office.
Yeah.
It did. I'm pretty sure it bombed at the box office, I guess. Nanobiologists will let me know. But it's the snakes on it. You don't want to blow that wad too early. You have to find the right time to not only talk about the platform, but that initial launch lineup. And an early event next year or at E3, those are the perfect times to do it because then that's your road to the actual launch holiday, 2020, for all the platforms or whatever it is. But, if you talk about it now, to me, that's too early. And I remember being on the third party side and talking with PR, being like, no, we got to talk about this now. Like, this is the hype is real. The hype is exciting. People want to hear about this. And they'd be like, too early. Nope, too early.
Yeah.
And we'd be super frustrated, like, no, you got to do it. Then, they want to hear about it. But then, eventually you'd be like, yeah, okay, you're right.
Worked out pretty well for PlayStation.
Worked out pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my thing is to the question, I mean, we've been burned before, obviously, and we've been wrong before. Phil Spencer, the Xbox team, understand, and I think obviously admit to, what went wrong with the Xbox One generation and launch. I think they know that they cannot launch another console like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, yes, I do think when they are ready to talk about Scarlet and they are ready to show, like you're talking about, the hype trains are already gone full steam ahead
100%.
Because we're always excited for new hardware.
Of course.
We love new hardware. We love new boxes. We love what they can do.
But the minute all that information comes out
and
you guys can talk about it and you can do a special episode about it and whatnot, it's done. It's gone.
And then it's about games.
And then it's about games.
And so I feel like when they reveal this and they show Halo Infinite, I'm hoping, and I know this is, I hope I'm not crazy about this. I'm hoping Halo Infinite is that God of War moment.
Right.
Right? Because I've said this before and I'll continue to say it. Like, I think that's where PlayStation generations have gone and what Xbox can learn from them is that I feel the games change as they go. They grow up in a specific way where, Santa Monica and PlayStation looked at God of War and were like, people are kind of over Kratos, right? Like, what do we do?
Yeah.
And I feel like that, to your point earlier, like, Xbox has had big games. Hey, Gears 5, people loved.
Yep.
But it is that thing of, like, if you don't like Gears, you're not going to like this game. Whereas God of War, if you didn't like the other God of Wars, you still got to play God of War on PS4, right? This is something different. This is something cool.
Right.
I'm hoping that's what we get out of Infinite. And I don't know what that looks like. And
yeah, I don't know what that looks like either. I'm excited for it, though. Because I back in the Xbox 360 days, I would play Halo, not very well, but play with my friends. And, people loved it, and loved it. And there's still that loyal fan base, going through the studio changes to 343 and following the new generation of Halo. But if Infinite is something that not only pleases the new fans, but pleases the classic fans of the original games, like, holy shit, they've hit onto something special.
Yeah, and so I think they know that for that big of a title, but I also think for the people they're bringing in, even if it is not getting out too early, but having a teaser trailer for what's going on. And
totally.
This is where we're working.
I mean, everybody knows Halo Infinite is coming. Yeah. And, they've talked about it. They've had little teasers here and there. But having something that really, again, doesn't give away the farm, but lets people know that the farm is there.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's close. I can almost touch it. I can almost see what's inside the farm. But
yeah,
I think that's...
I think you'll see that.
Special.
Yeah. I think you're going to see that. I think you're going to see other first party stuff. And I think you're going to see deals with people, right? That, hey, this is why we're here. We're going to do this one. DJ Kento says Snakes on a Plane doubled its budget, cost about $33 million to make, and got $62 million worldwide.
Yeah, but it wasn't the hit everybody was expecting.
It was if they would have launched that a little bit bigger, then it would have been a bigger deal, right? Because I think that was the thing. Yeah. I was so tired of it. Like, he's on a plane. There's Snakes on a Plane. I got it. I don't need to worry about it. Number three. Let's get away from Xbox for one hot second. There might be an Anthem overhaul coming. This is Jason Schreier over at Kotaku. Breaking news this morning in a much longer article from Jason over there. I urge you to go read the entire thing. Mm-hmm. But it starts like this. Recent silence and a couple of high-profile departures from BioWare have led fans and pundits to speculate that the studio has abandoned its most recent game, Anthem. But the opposite is true. For the last few months, BioWare and parent company EA have been planning an overhaul of the online shooter, according to three people familiar with those plans. Some call it Anthem 2.0 or Anthem Next. Many of the details are still in flux, and there's no clear timeline for the Anthem Next project just yet. In fact, from what I've heard, the developers at BioWare haven't even decided how it'll be distributed. They're still figuring out whether updates should be released all at once or over an extended period of time. Anthem could be overhauled through a series of updates a la No Man's Sky. It could get a game-changing expansion like Destiny's critically acclaimed Taken King. Most of Anthem's biggest systems, its mission structure, its loot, its world, will change drastically. But the developers have not yet figured out exactly what it will look like. They're even considering releasing Anthem Next as a brand new game, although those who work on the project said that it could take a lot of forms, parentheses, and it's unlikely they'll charge full price for Anthem players. The one thing that's for sure is that BioWare has not abandoned Anthem, despite recent breathless declarations that the game is dead. Right now, dozens, if not hundreds of developers at both BioWare's offices in Austin, Texas, and Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, are quietly working on plans to overhaul the game. Then there's a whole bunch more in the article you should go read, but this is the outro. BioWare, meanwhile, is still invested in role-playing games. In addition to the much-anticipated Dragon Age 4, which BioWare teased last year, a new Mass Effect game is in very early development at the Edmonton office under game director Mike Gamble, a longtime BioWare producer. So yeah, interesting stuff out of there.
The cool thing is that despite all the press and people and the naysayers and whatnot, they're still supporting the game. Mm-hmm. And they're trying new things to see what they can do to get people reinvested into it and playing the game again. Anthem still has its core playing.
Sure. Absolutely. I'm still subscribed to the subreddit. I see people playing, talking about stuff.
Yeah. But they want to grow that audience, and they're sticking with it. I find that sometimes the games get abandoned too early because it is, like we were talking about earlier, what's that next great game, that's the one we should focus on. What's after that? That's the one we should... I tried this. I played it for 10 hours. Let's go try something else.
Yeah.
But, you want to build that audience and, bring them back. So kudos to them.
Yeah, and it's nice to hear that because I think it is the opposite of what you hear from everybody, because the conversation constantly on this show too has been, are they in the long game on this? Yeah. Are they going to back off of it? Because you do see people leaving, you do wonder, and you do worry, not worry, but I mean, EA being the big corporation it is, right?
Yeah.
There are the bean counters that are sitting there going like, absolutely, is this worth it? And it's interesting to see that they think it's worth it and they're going to double down on it.
And the dirty little secret, this is still a business.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I mean, it'd be great if fans could get everything they want, but at the end of the day, if that's the bean counter is saying we're losing money here. We're losing money here. Either do something big or we got to move on, So it's that constant struggle between developers, publishers, and the bean counters.
Yeah, exactly.
And the public. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a four-way struggle.
Yeah.
So kudos to them there. Keep going. And EA is letting them do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of making money as EA, Gregway, number four, let's talk about the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order review roundup. As of 9:24 a.m. Pacific time this morning, the Metacritic sits at a nice 84.
I called it.
Hey, you know what? There's a lot of time before Gamescast comes back around. All right, Drunky?
All right.
Easy Allies gave it a 90. Bradley Ellis wrote, Star Wars is a beloved series, and when a new game comes out, some particular hopes and expectations come with it. There are excellent games in the franchise, but it's been a while since they've reached those heights. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order has combat that feels tight and impactful, and exploring each of its imaginative worlds gives a great sense of discovery. It's a fantastic title that stands as one of the best Star Wars games yet. Games Radar gave it a 4 out of 5. Ben Tyrer says, there's plenty to like about Fallen Order, but it should come with the caveat that it's slightly rougher than I was expecting. I played the entire game on a PlayStation 4 Pro, and glitches in frame rate stuttering have cropped up enough to warrant mentioning. One patch has already been released before launch, and EA has told us another is on its way, but it did give my initial playthrough a rougher than ideal feel. Still, even if this isn't the most polished Star Wars game I've ever seen, we've ever seen, it's also the first one in years that comes closest to capturing the magic of the series. Battlefront looked like Star Wars. Fallen Order, with its endearing earnestness that mirrors its heroes, gets what makes this series special. It is It is the glimpses of strange worlds and cultures we want to learn more about. It's enjoying the ragtag groups who are slowly learn to trust each other. And sorry, everybody. And it's the fact that lightsabers are really great fun, especially when you get them right. And then US Gamer gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Cat Bailey says, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order comes painfully close to being the best action game of the year, but it ultimately falls short due to pacing problems and a host of technical issues. Still, this is the first step into a larger world for a franchise that has persistently struggled since its acquisition by EA. Have you played yet?
No, I just downloaded it and very excited to get it. I mean, I'm still playing Death Stranding, so, you know, but... I'm excited to go. I mean, I worked at LucasArts for 4 years, 2009 to 2012.
Yeah.
2013. Yeah.
Oof. Time. Flat circle.
Yeah, whatever. I'm really excited to check it out.
Dude, it's, I can't wait for you to play it and try it.
Yeah. I know you're not the biggest Star Wars fan. I am a huge Star Wars fan. Have been my entire life. And I'm really excited to see what these the Respawn guys have cooked up.
I love a good Star Wars game, right? And I you know, I love going to Star Wars movies and seeing them and stuff. But I'm not the fan who can tell you everything and diehard guy, which is rare for me in nerddom, but I digress. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames, our spoiler-free review is up there, and everybody loves it.
Yeah, I was listening to that on the way over, and like it's funny. It sounds like a Star Wars game, you know, and I don't mean any disrespect when I say that, but it's you know, impressive visuals, a really great story, some technical problems.
Yeah.
You know, like it sounds like a Star Wars game, and it's you know, trying to make cameras work for lightsaber combat, for puzzle solving, for climbing, platforming, like. You know, it's not a one-stop shop. There are going to be issues, but it sounds like the polish and the fun factor
override it all.
And to me, that's super exciting.
Yeah, for me, I talked about it on the thing of like texting. For me, not being the biggest Star Wars fan, this has me so. And granted, Mandalorian's happening right now too.
Sure.
We're doing Star Wars in review. We're
very
getting
cool.
ready for the final, you know, Rise of Skywalker here. Like. It's a great time, and we just went down and did Disneyland and all that jazz.
Yeah,
but it's like
Star Wars Land.
I texted Carboni, and I was just like, I think I'm falling in love with Star Wars, and the game is a huge part of that.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of that game. I beat, like I said on the review, I beat it in 20 hours. I've probably put a 15 more hours into exploring, and I still have lots more to do, and I can't wait to platinum it, but even then, I'm going to have that post-platinum depression of like, I want to keep existing in this world and playing
this
game.
And you're a comic book guy. Are you reading the Star Wars comics?
No, should I be? Kind of,
you should be.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk offline, but there are a couple definite cool series. The Vader one in particular. I think there were 40 issues altogether, but it was fantastic.
Okay,
and it's very Star Wars heavy right now, but right now they're hitting all the marks. You know, The Mandalorian is great. You've seen this episode 2 just came out.
Right.
Have you watched that?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
So let's not talk. But episode 1 was great.
Episode 1 was great.
So really, you know, building an awesome world. And, you know, with this game, the new movie coming out, Star Wars Land. Yes, it could be too much Star Wars, some would
argue. But if they're getting it right.
But if they're getting it right.
Yeah, and this game gets it right.
Like, gimme.
Amon in DC writes in and says, good morning, Greg and Gio. As you guys know.
Good morning.
God damn it. Yeah, I'm not used to it. Usually everybody, I say good morning, Greg and Tim, and Tim just sits there looking at his phone. You know what I mean? Wondering when he can get another jelly bean. He loves that jelly beans. As you guys know, Amy Hennig and Visceral Star Wars title was canceled in order to refocus development on a games as a service iteration more in line with industry trends, which also was subsequently canceled. Do you believe the very positive reception for Jedi Fallen Order is an affirmation of critical and consumer desire for single-player Star Wars title? If so, do you believe that EA's strategy around Star Wars may shift? Going further, is it completely irrational to believe the chances of a Knights of the Old Republic remake or a sequel are higher this morning? Thanks for all the amazing content you do, and may the Force be with you. You know a thing or two about single-player Star Wars games and things, right?
Yeah, I was on the 1313 team. I was an EP on it. One of my greatest regrets is that game never saw the light of day, but, you know, in the world of business, anything can happen. So, I don't know if it's going to make it easier for those types of games, but it's definitely going to open the door to have those conversations, you know?
Yeah.
I've always loved single-player Star Wars games with the story, especially. It's, hey, buddy. Oh, look at that.
Whoa! Did they send us this?
Yeah.
Holy shit!
Wow, what's up, dude? Good seeing you, man.
Oh, we got two?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. If you're an audio listener, they just brought in...
That's pretty nice.
It's Cal's lightsaber from. It feels real good.
Yeah, nice and heavy.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that is incredible. That's really, really cool. Really, I'm sorry. Really cool. It's the lightsaber from Fallen Order.
Yeah.
Well, that's good timing, too. Good job. I thought he was going to come with jelly beans. You know what I mean? I thought he was moving that fast.
I don't remember. The shiny object.
Is it easier to make single-player games, Star Wars games, because of this? You said it easier to open the door for those conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct.
My thought is that, and I mean, you obviously, you know way more than I do. I think that the marketing and messaging around this, when they were like, no microtransactions, yep, single player only, yep, no multiplayer. That was a response to how loud everyone has been.
Right.
And I think that the critical success of this game ensures that you are going to see definitely Star Wars Jedi : whatever they want the sequel to be called.
Sure, but also the commercial success. Let's not forget exactly the bean counters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At
no,
the end of the day, it is a business. Yep. So, yeah, it doesn't matter if everyone is singing from the rooftops and saying how amazing the game is and it's getting 9s and 10s out of 10s, but if no one's buying it.
But I think people are going to buy it.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the proof's in the pudding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that happens. I think you get sequels there. I think that, you know, you mentioned about... I don't know... With the deal and the 10-year exclusivity and where that is and where people are in the timeline of games, there has to be an Old Republic coming again. A nice, the Old Republic.
You'd hope so.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Somebody has to be working on
it. You would
it.
Hope so.
Or hopefully now they're like, oh, maybe we should work on it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, what a dumb thing. Maybe we stop shoving multiplayer into this.
I mean, that's a whole side of the universe that I think really came to prominence because of the games, KOTOR and all that stuff.
Yeah, but, oh my God.
I would hate to see it not revisited ever. It has to be.
I mean, it's such an awesome idea. And as far as we've come as video game industry, right, of like what you can do with a role-playing game, what you can do with choices, how you could make stories change and go.
Yep.
Even if it's a smaller scope, it has still that same choice of building. Like, that's my thing with Fallen Order in particular. And I talk about this at length in the review, right? Is it's a single player. They're telling me their story, all these different things. But the choices they let you make in the game while going through Cal's story makes me feel connected to that game and that character in a way I have not felt in a lot of games, let alone Star Wars, since Old Republic.
Right.
And I think, and I know this is blasphemy, I think this is a better game than Old Republic. Old Republic was awesome and great, but there's obviously fat on it. It was a giant RPG. You're doing a million different things. There's those moments that stand out. This game, I feel like, every second I'm in it, I'm in love with it.
Okay.
Even when I'm screaming at the combat because it's too hard and I'm like Dark Souls combat. Yeah, yeah. Love it. I still have more questions about this, though. Hold on. So then Vince writes in and says, good morning, Greg and Tim. Sorry, that's because I fucked it up.
Okay.
I fucked it up yesterday. I apologize. Recently, Jeff Keighley announced on Twitter.
My name's Tim.
I love jelly beans. Announced on Twitter that the Game Awards nominees will be announced Tuesday. Okay. With all the positive reviews for Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order coming out and many people saying that it's their game of the year, do you think that it will be in the running for the Game Awards Game of the Year, or did it possibly come out too late to be considered? Thanks. Love everything you do at Kinda Funny. Vince.
I don't know what the cutoff was.
I have the answer.
Okay.
Here's the thing, is that, no, it is technically eligible.
Okay.
The 15th today is the cutoff for what games could have come out for, ooh, right?
Right on the wire.
So right on the wire.
Yeah.
The problem is that review copies weren't out yet. Because I had played enough at the preview event to be like, I think this could be my game of the year.
Right.
But since they didn't hit it when we did it, I can only speak for my outlet, not anybody else.
Sure, sure.
For us, I did not put it on to our game of the on our nominees for game of the year because I didn't feel it was fair to go off of two 3 hours of the game.
Yeah, and we had to send in our things before we got
exactly
review
exactly
copies,
yeah. So. No, the cutoff's today, but we already voted on our nominees.
So there you go. So it might not make it.
Which will be heartbreaking.
Yeah, it would be.
And it's that thing of, on the one hand, I feel like, oh, fuck, I wish I had nominated. On the other hand, I'm like, well, it's not fair to the other games to nominate the way it works.
Yeah.
It's in this weird gray area because a lot of other people, you might say, well, wait, if it's eligible till today, the 15th, people send out builds. Judges get early access to things. We have all sorts of stuff going on. And so now it's this thing of like, well, I had to vote the way I wanted to vote and what I think's fair. Maybe Game Informer and Andy McNamara did it. Maybe they're like, we've seen enough, put it on the list. And maybe Jeff had seen enough to put it on the list. And so we
for
get
you,
there.
This is interesting to me because I actually don't know how the Game Awards nominees and voting works. So you don't get a list of things. You actually put what you think is should be considered for best game. Best
what Jeff does is he'll send out the, hey, here are all the categories. We need five choices from, well, not five. You need to vote. You send back your choices, your nominees.
Sure.
You can nominate five.
Okay.
You have to at least nominate three for a category to be to be counted in that category.
Okay.
Otherwise, like, you know, sports games are always like, no, we're good.
So I'm sure some people did put it on their list.
Yeah, exactly.
But so maybe enough not enough.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
But this leads into an interesting question. Constantine writes in, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. It says, it is a great name. I don't want to shit on this game and diminish its accomplishments.
Coffee in the nose.
But is Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order being considered for Game of the Year discussion, personal or otherwise, because other game releases this year have been perceived as weak? Oh, and then he goes, what are your current top five games of the year? Constantine, 100% yes. And I do not want to be the I told you so guy, but I know that I've taken it on the chin, and I've seen other people in the industry take it on the chin, where we'll tweet or say in a podcast, man, it's been a weak year for games. Right. And somebody will pop up and be like, what about X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. And then guess what, everybody? A game comes out that we're all like, it's kind of broken, but it's game of the year, I think proves the point that it's like,
yeah,
it has been an interesting year for games where Control's awesome, Sekiro's awesome, mm-hmm. and like those games speak to certain audiences, yep. right? You know what I mean? Fire Emblem, right? Three Houses. Awesome.
Yeah.
But you get into this thing where there isn't, or hasn't until now, I really do believe, been a God of War, a Red Dead, a game where you look at it and you're like, wow, this is incredible. This is so insane. And so for a game to come out where literally we're all like, this is so much fun. I feel like a Jedi. I love it. Kind of fucking broken. You'll fall through the world. Respawns take forever. Like on a last year, you would have been like, oh, not a chance in hell. Great game. But yeah.
Like, was God of the War, God of War, your
that's
game
why you don't
work at
PlayStation. Yeah. God of War is now my favorite game of all time.
So did you ever throw your controller in frustration at Game of the Year like you did Jedi Fallen Order?
I never threw my controller in Jedi.
Well,
right?
You had it up.
I did lift and yell. There was a lot of fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
No, but it's a different kind of game.
Right. Because
what I said over and over again in the review, not over and over, when I'm talking about this and when I'd be talking to like Lucy or Jen about it, it was this... I'm not mad at the game because it's being cheap. I'm mad at the game because I'm mad at myself.
Right.
Because I misread that boss cue.
Yeah.
Like, I know what he's about to do, but I dodge rolled instead of jumped, which happened all the time on that one fight. So where it's like, time. God damn it, I know what you're about to do. And even today, where it's like, now that it's out in the wild, like, Jim Sterling, I retweeted today, he's like, early impressions of Jedi Fallen Order, fuck that frog. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. You're taking it away?
Already?
Okay.
All right.
Oh, cool. Okay. You want me to bring it back? No, it's fine. It's cool. It's fine. Whatever.
We'll just. Put the Vita it's back.
Fine. Yeah, put the Vita there back up there, you know? Yeah. And then Stadia.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I think it's been a weird year.
Yeah.
Of like, I think it's one of those weird ones where it's like, Game of the Year votes are going to split so much, and then one game will get a couple more votes than the others, and that's the one.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, just to go off a little bit, like Let's working at PlayStation, like you get your hands on so many games, but you rarely get to spend more than an hour or two on each game because there are just so many you want to check out, you want to try, you want to play.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who's on the Spider-Man team comes over and says, hey, you want to check out this build? And you're like, damn right, so I want to check over this build. So, you know, like you look at my gamer score and it's a dismal 14. Like, because I've never kind of played more than an hour or two of many games. And like now that I'm sitting playing more than the usual 1 hour of Death Stranding and going through it, it's like, wow, this is great. I want to learn more. I want to play more. I want to do more. But it doesn't mean that, you know, every game has been like that.
Yeah.
You know? And it's interesting that you say, like, it's been an interesting year. It has been an interesting year. There hasn't been the, like, that super duper hit that anyone from any allegiance could be like, yeah, that was a pretty cool game.
You know, when we were doing the Death Stranding review, Andy said something that stuck with me of like, I don't fall into this camp of, it's so hard to recommend Death Stranding. I think there's a simple question of like, do you want to go hiking in the rain? Like that, like, does that sound like a fun game to you? Like, and I even joke, like that sounds fun to me. So I like that game. But Andy, when he's talking about it, he's like, it's such a weird game that it's not a game I can say to anyone, you need to play this.
Right.
Certain people need to play this, right? If I know your tendencies. And he was like, God of War, on the other hand, last year was a game of like, everybody, you gotta, if you have a PlayStation, play this game.
Right.
Whereas this is the same way for me of like, you love single, you love Uncharted, you love Star Wars, you love, you know, Metroidvania, like, you love games. Yeah. Play this game. This game is so well crafted in terms of its systems and the way they build on each other and make you want to do things.
Yeah. It's funny, the walking in the rain is my least favorite part of the game.
Dude, it's so therapeutic. Yeah. You're just out there and it's like pitter patter. Like, granted, my packages are melting, but I'm having such a great time.
No, and I'm having a great time as well. But it's everything else about it that it's really resonating with me. The story, the crazy characters.
Sure,
like Die Hard Man and Dead Man and Heart Man and
Mama.
Is going on? Mama. Yeah. Like, going to the washroom, taking a shower.
What a
like
game,
it's
yeah.
like, what's going on?
Your Norman Reedus ride yeah. app or ad. Yeah. Fifth and finally on the Roper Report, an hour in.
Wow.
Star Wars is in Fortnite right now. This is James O'Connor at GameSpot. Fortnite now has Star Wars Imperial Stormtrooper skins just in time for the release of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. You can deck yourself out in the classic suit, first seen in 1977 Star Wars A New Hope, by grabbing the skin from the in-game store for 1,500 V-Bucks. As you can see in the trailer below, which of course we're just reading this article, it's a pretty faithful recreation of the cinematic suit. You want to hurry, as the suit is only available for a limited time. It'll disappear on November 17th at 7 p.m. Eastern. So you really don't have long to grab it. Alternatively, you can get the suit for free by buying Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order from the Epic Games Store.
It's weird that, you know, this isn't in the other battle royale that, you know, the devs of Jedi Fallen Order also made.
Huh.
It's kind of weird.
That is interesting, huh? No. Not really. Yeah. Do they do, like, Apex, are you getting, like, you're not getting crazy skins in, are you?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because isn't it Disney and EA have a big partnership right now?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
It's weird that there's a video game associated thing of Star Wars that's outside of EA. This is weird.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're also, you know, making you buy it in the Epic Game Store. So
that's fair.
But if you got Fallen Order, you get it for free?
Through the Epic Game Store if you bought it there. Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
It's one of those I want to buy, but it's like, I got to stop.
Because
all I do now on Fortnite is log on and buy the skins and never play Fortnite. So it's like, I got to stop.
You're the perfect customer.
I know, exactly. Nick Chester's very happy with me as he buys a second, third,
I'm in the same boat. I have so many skins.
Was like, oh, you're doing Marvel skins? Yeah. Oh, you're doing Batman skins? Yeah. And I'm like, fuck, I haven't played zero games as Batman.
Despite popular belief, like, even if you work at a console, you don't get those skins for free. You have to purchase those skins. You don't. There's no, like, little code that Epic can send you to say, like, oh, you get the Batman skin for free or whatever. Nope.
Oh, I've noticed, you know what I mean? When I started, when we were super into Fortnite, Nick knew. He didn't send me any fucking
You don't
codes.
Play anymore?
I do cycles.
Yeah.
So, like, when it came to Switch, we were all in the office playing really hard for, like, a month and a half, 2 months, and then went away, and then last year's holiday break.
Yeah.
I was like,
So you haven't checked out any of the Chapter 2 stuff
No,
or anything?
No. It looks cool.
It's cool.
Yeah. Gio.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what Star Wars games comes next, but that's going to be so far away.
Yeah.
If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
Okay, we're going to try this.
You're going to do it off book.
Yeah, off book. The official list of upcoming software as listed by the Kinda Funny Games show hosts each and every weekday. Something like that.
Not bad. Healing
this one word.
What?
I was missing one word.
Only one word.
Oh, no. Which one was I missing?
He's grading on a scale.
Yeah.
That's okay. B-Force doesn't know.
I'm Canadian. I'll take not
Is
bad.
One word across each and every platform? Is it? Is that one word?
I missed that
Across
one.
Each and every platform.
Barrett, right. Just give me the one. Let me read the ads. I'm waiting. Today we're brought to you by Brooklinen. Making your home beautiful is the ultimate form of self-care. You spend a third of your life in the sheets. Don't you want them to be insanely comfortable? In this holiday season, maybe it's time to gift the ones you love or yourself with something a little cozier, like bedding, loungewear, towels, and more. And lucky for you, Brooklinen is delivering comfort all season long. These are luxury sheets, robes, loungewear, towels, and more without the luxury markup prices. Brooklinen was the first direct-to-consumer bedding company, meaning they work directly with manufacturers and directly with customers. No middlemen, just a great product and service. I know because I sleep on Brooklinen sheets. They were easy to order, mix and match, all that jazz. I have not gotten the loungewear yet. I'd need to. They've moved beyond the bedroom to offer essentials for your bathroom like towels, shower curtains, and bath mats, and even launched an ultra-soft loungewear that makes you feel like you never left the bed. As you all know, the holidays are upon us. This is an easy way for you to pull your car over right now in the median of the street and order on your phone. Go get 10% off and free shipping anytime when you shop at Brooklinen.com and use the promo code GAMES. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that they offer on their sheets, comforters, towels, and everything else with a lifetime warranty. To get 10% off and free shipping, go to Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen. Everything you need to live your most comfortable life and get holiday gifts for people you're going to forget about. Next, Manscaped. Support for Kinda Funny Games Daily comes from Manscaped, who is the best in the men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Jingle balls to the walls, fellas. Listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about Manscaped's Perfect Package 2.0. This revolutionary company, Manscaped, has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. I know all of this firsthand.
So do I.
Or first ball. You use manscaped.com?
Yeah.
Oh, you can go wide for that, Bear. Look at that. Two Manscaped boys over here looking pretty. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm bald up top, but I'm a Sasquatch from the neck down.
Sure. So, yeah. So that thing, you're charging that thing quite a bit.
Yeah. It's not from the waist down. It's from the neck down.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, you're really out there. Then you're using, of course, that Lawnmower 2.0. Mm. It's amazing. It's going to keep you safe. It also, in the perfect package, it comes there. It's a perfect gift for the holiday season. Remember, the holidays are here. Pull over in the median again. You can use this. You can go out there, take care of people.
Don't pull over to the median. Pull over to the side.
There's
of the
nothing better than pulling over to the median and ordering your dad something for his balls, right? Remember, you came from those balls. Why don't you help protect them? Tis the season to manscape. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code games at manscaped.com. Your balls or your dad's balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code games at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code games. And the final supporter today is Escape the Invasion. You got to check out this game called Escape the Invasion. It's all about immersive experiences, and they just announced the launch of their new post-apocalyptic themed subscription box. Picture this scenario. You're in the middle of a post-apocalyptic world that has been ravaged by a deadly virus inflicted by aliens. Would you survive? With Escape the Invasion, you can find out. Each month, you'll receive a box of clues, physical items, and evidence that will get you closer to survival. It's up to you to piece it all together, solve the mystery, and save humanity. It's been called an escape room delivered to your door where Fallout meets Alien. It's a great way to get off your phones and start connecting with friends. Or if you prefer to play solo, you can interact with their online community, swapping theories and helping each other out. Right now, just for our listeners, you can go to escapetheinvasion.com/kfgames for 20% off your first box. That's escapetheinvasion.com/kfgames for 20% off your first box. escapetheinvasion.com/kfgames. See if you can survive the alien apocalypse. Holidays are here, Gio.
I know.
And again, just pull your Mack truck over. You're gonna. What do you got to order, Billy Bob? You know what I mean? Go on over. Order him Escape the Invasion. You can come over. That's the other thing. Escape the Invasion. You know somebody who has a nicer house than you? Get them this. Then you come over and you play and you play with them and you drink their wine. You know what I mean?
What?
Maybe you take a snake. Hide
going
in
off
their
on
boxes,
a tangent.
You know?
I don't know what's happening.
Out today, Trax, the train set game on Xbox One, Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield on
All
Switch.
Right.
You started playing last night, Bear?
Yeah, I think I'm going to restart, though, because I saw what Sobble evolves into, and it's fucking terrifying.
So gotcha, okay.
I might restart my playthrough.
Woven the game at PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, and Mac. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Terminator Resistance on PC. Astroneer on PS4. Tokyo Ghoul Recall to Exit, PS4 and PC. Tokyo Warfare Turnbow, Xbox One. Mars Power Industries on Switch. Tactical Mind 2. Go! Fish! Go! On Switch.
Great name.
Future Snooker on PC. Biker Garage Mechanic Simulator on PC. Duplicity, but there's an underscore between Dupli and City. PC and Mac. Between Two Castles on PC. Adventure Galaxy on PC. Nano World on PC. And then Rage 2's latest expansion, Terror Mania, is available for PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4. Woo! You know what I mean?
Lots.
Yeah, I know. We were
lots for a Friday.
It's because you're here. You know what I mean? You bring the news, and I like that about you, GM. It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everybody plays games together. Today, Bob needs help on mobile. His mobile name is BU Gambit. He says, "Hey, Greg. I'm looking for some best friends to join our alliance in Marvel Puzzle Quest. We're a small group of active players who are looking to build out our numbers and hopefully place better in events. No experience necessary. Can you line up three of the same color in a row? Perfect, you're qualified. Don't worry about anything else. We're happy to share advice on optimizing your roster, character builds, and all that other stuff that would keep Fran in menus for 20 minutes. So if you want a fun distraction during meetings, when nature calls, or while you're making... or you're waiting for the delivery guy to arrive, search for KF Best Friends 3 in Marvel Puzzle Quest and join." That's Bob. I expect you all to go out there. Be Iron Man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Gio.
Yeah.
We asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screwed up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe.
Okay.
A lot of people in here. Nanobiologist, of course, says the current Xbox Game Pass Ultimate deal is $1 for 3 months, and it comes with 3 months of Discord Nitro, Hulu, and Spotify. Because I made a joke about, you know, the deals and stuff. Seems like a pretty good deal. You know?
Yeah, it's a really good deal.
Every Kingdom Heart will be on Xbox One for the first time. I thought we said that, but apparently we didn't. And I'm not going to read all their names.
No,
all right, just Kingdom Hearts is there. That's all you need to know. That's not news. That's not, no, we already said that. They're trying to do that thing where they're trying to get me before I got. You know what I mean? Like, I was going to get there. I was going to get to the Phil Spencer thing. Don't you worry about everybody. I don't know. Everybody's trying to get you now. I'm not gonna have that at all. Yeah, that's not
it. I'm comfortable in my mistakes.
Oh, no. And we're done. A lot of people in there trying to be a hero, trying to grasp at stuff. Well, Geo said his gamer score is 14. Does he mean his trophy level? Who the fuck cares? You know what he means. You know the point he's making. Am I wrong, Barrett? Did you understand?
I understood.
He gets an hour with every game.
And you know what? Don't be ashamed of that level 14, because that's where I'm at, too.
Nice.
Barrett, you have no excuse, and I don't like it.
PS4 was my first console since the PS2, Greg. I don't know what to tell you.
How did he get hired here? How did he? He doesn't care about Patapon, and he's here.
Wow. I was a 360 kid, Greg. It was the better console. It's more accessible.
Better console than what?
PS3.
Everybody has an opinion.
Yeah, a lot of them are wrong, am I right? PlayStation Vita forever. Everybody, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Next week's schedule looks like this. It's going to be me and that nerdy site's Trevor Starkey on Monday. Tuesday, me and Imran. Wednesday, me and Gary Whitta. Thursday, me and Imran. And then Friday, Imran and Fran, because we're going to London, baby.
Nice.
Kinda Funny World Tour meet and greet rolling through there. Gamescast is going to be Thursday, 2 p.m. Tim, myself, Fran, and Imran. Gio Corsi.
Yes.
You are a fantastic human being. You've known that forever.
You too,
crushed it on the show.
Thank you.
I want you on here as much as possible before you get a job.
Okay. Thank you.
I mean, after you get a job, you're welcome to come by too. But I'm sure they're going to have to come to the office and talk to people. Ugh, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yuck, all the time. Where can people keep up with you?
You can find me on Twitter at Gio Corsi, at Gio Corsi. Yep. Very unique and original.
Yeah.
I was an original, you know. Yeah. Got my name, so I was very happy
with
that.
Yeah.
You can find me on console at EasyRhino43 and on Instagram at Corsi World, or at your local ramen restaurant where I'll be eating.
All right, great. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
Go Canucks.